Good to be here this evening. I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad that those that are in line are here. I hope you enjoy and join in, and the Lord will spiritually and richly bless you with his word. Because you know what? It's not about who stands here, but it's about him. And as we glorify him and he gets the glory, we're fulfilling the purposes of God. You know, as on this journey, you run into things that impact you. And one of the things that along the way over the years has impacted me is the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which talks about the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To glorify God and enjoy him. I love it in its simplicity, but yet its complexity. It's one of those things that you look at and you go, how do you fulfill that? How do you walk that out? And as you look at the life of Jesus, you see that very thing. You see that he was here to only do what the Father was doing. And I believe right now in the time that we're living in, the Spirit of God is pouring out on the face of the earth in ways that we've never experienced, in ways that are yet to come. As he says, from glory to glory. And you know, there were droughts as you look through biblical history. There were times, even before Jesus came, there was 400 and something years that it's like they hadn't even heard from God. But right now, the heavens open. We've had a word over this place and a word over this region and a word over Alabama and a word over this nation that God is in the midst of doing something. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. So those who have an ear to hear what the Lord has to say tonight, let them hear. It's imperative tonight. And this season of life, this season of God that we're in, that we're hearing the voice of the Lord. I want to take you to Genesis chapter 1. I love Genesis chapter 1. I love Genesis. I love the foundation in the beginning because in there is so much that you can read it and read it again and read it again and read it again. And the Holy Spirit just kind of takes that thing like an onion. And he just begins to peel that thing open. And every time you look at it, the Holy Spirit's saying, yeah, this is what I was doing. This is, you know, I mean, it's the Lord showing you how he works in the moment of creation of all of time, of all of the time on this earth. We know there was time before that. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So I ask, why did God create the heavens and the earth? What was his purpose? I mean, you know, God did not just begin when the earth began. He was before it, right? He spoke everything that's in existence into the existence. John says it was all made through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at this passage, we see that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the void on the face of the earth. It says it was out without form and void. And as the Lord spoke, as the Father spoke the word, which was Jesus, the Holy Spirit began to manifest that which was on the Father's heart and in the Father's mind and in his creativity. Now, for a moment, I want you to fathom universes. And this is the same God that created all the universes, all the stars, and then he comes to earth and he says, I made this one just perfect so that life can exist on here and life in a form that I want to express myself and I want to show my glory. And he made the plants and he made the animals, but then he made something that is called man. The crowning jewel of God's creation is you and I as an offspring of that first man. So when God created the heavens and the earth, when he created the animals and the plants and everything there, he then created man. And he said something unique about man that he didn't say about anything else. He didn't say about the chimpanzee. He didn't say it about any of the glorious animals that he created. But he said, let us make man in our own image. You are every man, every woman, every person that you come in contact with is carrying an impression, whether they realize it or not, believe it or not, want to accept it or not, of something of the image and likeness of God. And in that passage, I think we see the heart of a father. A heart of a father that says, man, we got it so good here. I want to place something on the face of the earth that's in our image and likeness. And I want to walk with them. I want to commune with them. I want to raise them up to carry our glory. And in the passage of Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in his image and likeness. And then in verse 2:7, God breathed the breath of life into a formless piece of clay, into a body that was laying there that he'd formed out of the fashion of the earth. He breathed life. So no other part of creation does it say that he breathed life. The reason this is significant, are the animals alive? They are. But the breath of life contains the spirit of the living God. So you're made to carry the presence of the living God upon the face of the earth. The reason it's imperative in this day and age is because with the speed at which God is moving, we can miss some things that we are imperative for us to know and to have and be a part of. I think God is accelerating things, that things are beginning to happen quicker. Things are beginning to move in a fashion that we got to be plugged into the source. The power's got to be on for our voice to be heard. Because there is a voice that you have that is worth putting in the face of the earth and putting into the atmosphere to change the atmosphere. But there's a key to that voice being plugged into the power source, being tuned in to the Spirit of the living God. I'm telling you, I believe in the days that are coming, you're going to be speaking things out of your mouth that you don't even understand the consequences of. You don't even understand the power of. You don't even understand the implications of. Because God is putting things and has already put things throughout your life in your mouth where you spoke and you went, wait a minute, that was not me, that was God. Have you had those encounters? I've had those encounters where I've been sitting with people, where I've been talking with people, where something happens and I say something and I go, whoa, that was not me. That was God. And I watch situations change and I watch people's lives transform because God has spoken in that situation. But oftentimes, in my walk, I've got the answers because I know the Word and I know the one that is the Word. But there comes a point where I go, okay, God, I'm out of answers. I'm out of answers. I don't know what to speak or say or do in this situation. Come, Holy Spirit. And I have heard the Lord say, I've been waiting for you to be quiet. Now here's what I want you to do. Can you imagine a church that carries the Holy Spirit, not just in a moment on and off, but continually? Can you imagine your life and what it is like to walk in a constant flow from the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine what it's like to walk in a moment-by-moment relationship that you say, hey, Holy Spirit, what do you see in this? What are you seeing? Okay, I didn't see that. What a revelation. I think that revelation is coming so quickly right now to the body of Christ that we've got to be in tune with the Spirit. And I believe from the beginning of time that when God breathed the breath of life into the man of God, he said, this is my life flowing through him. When the Bible says that he gives you breath, that every breath that you take, I don't believe it's just talking about the oxygen. I believe it's talking about the sustenance of the will of God, of the desire of God for your life. You know, there is a call on your life. Every one of you is called to walk in the fullness of the man or the woman that God has called you to be. Every one of us has that call. Now, that's the main call. That is your main call, and your main purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. You get that straight, the other calls, the other purposes, the other things begin to fall into line. And it's time that the Holy Spirit has his way to align us in the church, to align us and move us to where he wants us, to flow in him in a way that brings forth life wherever we go. Does the Bible not say that the river of life flows out of us? Does the Bible not say that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You know, we're a walking temple. We're not a planted temple. We're not a temple that can't move, but we're a temple that, out of all the magnificent buildings and things that are on the face of the earth, out of the temple that was in the Old Testament of David and the gold and all these things, God's desire is always to be in man and walk in unison with man. He created you to walk in unity and communion with him. I title this message, Carrying His Presence. Carrying His Presence. The breath of God coming into man was a moment of intimacy. And the first thing that man saw when he woke up was the face of God. You mothers out there, that baby's born and it's handed to you and you begin to bond. You fathers out there, you begin to bond with that baby. I think Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus was sitting there. The breath of life went in, and they were sitting there going, here he is. Here he is. Here he is. I think when you were born, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were sitting there going, there he is. There she is. That's the one that we've been waiting on. If we could grasp the concept that God loves you, that God adores you, that God believes in you and the power of his Holy Spirit in you and the washing of the sin of the Lord Jesus Christ over you, the blood of Christ over you, and the righteousness of Christ, being you being clothed in that, if we could grasp those concepts, we would not walk bowed down. We wouldn't hang our harps upon the willow, but we would have joy forevermore. We would be in the presence of God. The old saying goes, you know, if you're saved and you know it, then your face should surely show it. I mean, come on now. We've been around other Christians that I think they were baptized in some pickle juice. I got a serious face. I mean, you see me walking around here doing a lot of things. But the reality is, in the joy in my heart, I know where my source is. I know where it comes from. Because in and of myself, I also know my weaknesses, but so does he. And you see, he don't look at them like I look at them. He just said, come on, let me cover them for you. Come on, let me cover that for you. The intimacy of God, watching over creation. awaiting the birth of his sons and daughters. One walking down the aisle to give their life to Jesus. One standing back there that gives their life to Jesus. Jesus said, ding, there he is. There he is. There she is. Good job, Holy Spirit. I know you've been wooing that one. They're coming home. They're coming home. Mankind was created out of abundance of love. There was no lack in God. He didn't say, I need another project. What do you got, Holy Spirit? Well, I thought we might form this being man called man. We got a lot of work to do. We got to create the face of the earth. We can do that in 7 days. We can create the universe, put the earth in the right place between the planets that it needs to be in the alignment with the rotation around the sun. I ain't no problem. We can do that in 7 days. 6 days, and the seventh day was rest. I think the Father had a heart for you and for me. And he's tarrying because he wants all of his children to come to being in him. Your primary purpose on the face of the earth is to commune with a living God. And out of that communion comes a oneness that Jesus talked about in John. Out of that communion comes a place where you walk and the Spirit of God is inside of you. And we need to be sensitive enough, like Elizabeth, when Jesus came and John the Baptist began to leap in the womb. I believe today that the womb of God is pregnant in the men and women of God to birth what God wants to birth on the face of the earth. And we need to hear his voice. And when we hear his voice, we're going to begin to leap. Listen, feel, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when he's talking, when he's speaking, when Jesus is speaking. Because he's going to burst something in your life that's going to be miraculous, that's going to change. There's a scripture that talks in the Bible about Paul and the miracles he was doing. And they didn't just call them miracles, but they called them great miracles, super miracles. Great, beyond what they were seeing over here, Paul is walking in something else. I think we're living in a day of Acts where God's going to begin to perform miracles through you. But I think we got to be plugged into the source. We got to be one-eyed, focused on what God wants, like the singleness of eye of the dove. And we all know in the cool of the presence of the day, in Genesis 3:8, that God came down after man had fallen. I don't believe... How did they know that it was God walking in the garden? If that was the first time he ever came, how would they know that it was God walking in the garden? They knew his footsteps. They heard his footsteps. They knew the cadence of God. Let's read that passage. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, I don't know. He could have been singing. I don't know. He knows what's happened, right? He's not surprised. But yet God is calmly walking. In Genesis 3, verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid themselves because they had sinned. It's time that we quit hiding ourselves. It's time that we quit being distracted. It's time that we fall on our face before holy God and say, God, I'm in. I'm in. Whatever you desire, I'm in. You've done that in your life. I know you have. My challenge to you this evening isn't any more than continue to walk in that presence and foster it. God, even more. More, Lord, more. I want to be more sensitive. And the way we become more sensitive is by being more obedient. The Holy Spirit, you've experienced this, I've experienced this. I've had times where the Holy Spirit said, and I've had him tell me some things that was hard for me. May not be hard for you. I've shared some of them with you, but there are times the Holy Spirit will say, I want you to do this. And I go, that's not the Holy Spirit. Because my flesh doesn't want to, but usually that's a real good indication that it's the Holy Spirit. You know, one of my favorite Bible characters, one of many, is David. And when he was dancing before the ark, he was dancing before the glory of the Lord. He didn't care about anything else except for ushering the glory of God. He didn't care his position that he was a king. He didn't care. He was supposed to set an example of dignity. He said, this is a glorious day. And you and I are carrying the very presence of the living God that was in that ark, that was in that temple, in us. Can you fathom? I cannot. That God wants to dwell in me and does dwell in me with that same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That same Holy Spirit that performed miracles. You see, when the Father came down, stepping back for a moment, and he began to walk in the garden, they knew it was him because he had been there before. I think he came every day. I think sometimes he came more often. But they knew because there was an intimacy to the level that they knew it was the Lord walking in the garden. I mean, there's all kind of animals out here. You ever sat in the woods? You hear things. Well, I mean, is that a squirrel? Is that a bird? Is it a deer? Is it what I'm looking for, what I'm hunting for? But in the midst of all that, they heard the Lord walking in the garden. Since the beginning, God's desire to be a father and be intimate with his children is obvious. But then came man, as we are in that scripture now, where they hid from him because they had rebelled. Now, every one of us have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. It's obvious in your life. It's obvious in my life. And the main focus that the enemy we would like to get you to focus on is those sins, those failures. Well, you're not really. You're not one of those that really carries the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know what? There is no junior Holy Spirit. There is no more Holy Spirit for one man or one woman than there is for the other. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same amount. We just have to surrender. We have to commune. We have to be intact. He says that if we seek him, we'll find him. You see, the revelations of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and what he wants to bring to your life is specific to your life and the part that you have to fulfill. And when we stand before him on that day of judgment, it's going to be, did you listen to the still small voice? Did you listen to the Holy Spirit that was speaking inside of you? And I gotta say, there are times I'm not listening. There are times that I'm so focused on this or that I'm not listening. But I've been telling the Father, Lord, I want to hear every whisper. I want to hear every word. I want to hear every footstep. I want to hear you coming before you get here, Holy Spirit. I want to be ready. But out of the blunder of man and out of the most horrendous thing he could do, which was rebel against God and say, oh, I'm going to be my own God, All sin is rebellion. All sin is rebellion. All sin is the exact same as taking that fruit. It's given to the temptation and saying, well, I think I know something God don't know. Or God, you know, the only enemy, he likes to come to you and say, you know, that won't really hurt you. You know, you can just taste of it. You know, God, what I've learned over the years is that one taste. When it says the wages of sin is death, that one taste has death in it. It's death to you. It's not that God won't forgive you. It's not that God doesn't love you. He demonstrates that in the garden. He demonstrates that through the cross and the resurrection. Once and for all, it's settled. But something in you, part of the sensitivity that's there with the Holy Spirit, begins to be a little less receptive. You walk off course a little faster every time and a little quicker because that sensitivity isn't there. It's almost as if you become spiritually, every bite is spiritually deafening. It's as if you can't hear because you've basically done this. So I think I'm going to do my own thing for now. We've all been there. You may be there now. But it's not worth it. It's not worth it. The price you pay and the effect that it has on you. As I've watched some of those that I love make some decisions that I know grieves the Holy Spirit, that even in the midst of the pain that it causes me, I say, Lord, price they'll have to pay, the pain that it'll cause in their life. It isn't because he doesn't love you, but it is because you chose a path that leads to death. Every sin has a cost and a consequence. Yes, the price of salvation's already been paid, but the difficulty, and it isn't that God isn't coming. It isn't that he isn't wooing you and drawing you back. But your heart begins to harden. And it gets harder for you to go back. And even when you go back sometimes, it takes longer for you to realize that God really has forgiven you. And you really can walk in communion. But the enemy wants nothing more than to break that communion. He wants nothing more, saints, than to draw you away from the presence of the Holy Spirit. He wants nothing more than to fill your life with tasks and things that will draw you out. But in the midst of those tasks, in the midst of those things, in the midst of your job, you can walk with the Holy Spirit. I've been there. I've done it. And sometimes unsuccessfully, but many times over the course of life, as I have been in places of employment that many were not godly, I said, Lord, doesn't matter. Lord said to me, son, it doesn't matter who they are. What matters is who you are in your mind. You can't respond like that. You can't allow yourself to be drawn into those places. When someone offends you, the scripture we read, the glory of a man to forgive a transgression, to overlook a transgression. The Holy Spirit, when walking and flowing with him, I'm going to tell you, over the last couple of years, I've had some doozies. I've had some things that hit me right between the eyes, and I'm stunned, and I'm shocked, and I'm hurt. And I can hear the enemy laughing. But I can hear the Father saying, come to me. Come to me. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers and principalities. And you know what? I don't have an answer for that. But he does. He does. In this day and time, the closeness with which you walk with the Holy Spirit is going to lead you through troubled times. Because there are troubled times coming. But you and I can navigate them because we know the source that sees all. But with the fall of man, man walked away. But Jesus said, it's not over. And then he hung on the cross, and as he hung on the cross, he said, it's finished. And then he rose again on the third day, and he came so that you and I might have life and life more abundantly. Jesus said, I came. And when I go, I'm going to leave with you the Holy Spirit. I know you've heard about the Holy Spirit. I know you know who the Holy Spirit is. So tonight, I'm not trying to make a case for the Holy Spirit. But I want you to know that right now in this season, that same power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that made the lame to walk, that made the blind to see, that spoke and demons trembled, that walked on the face of the earth, and wherever he walked, he took authority because he was doing what he saw the Father do. As Pastor Eddie has preached about walking in that authority and making sure you're in line with the Holy Spirit, making sure that you're seeing what the Father's doing. The reason it's imperative to be plugged into the Holy Spirit is because you and I can't see what the Father's doing without him. But he's the one saying, hey, I want you to go over here. Hey, I want you to do this. Hey, I want you to speak to that person. Hey, I want you to pray for that person. I don't want you to tell them. I'm going to show you something. I just want you to pray for it. You know, we oftentimes preach the charismatic side of the Holy Spirit, the miracles, and I want them. I want to see them. I want to see them like Paul was, where, you know, as I was reading the last couple of weeks, and I saw where, you know, the lady with the issue of blood, she believed if she just touched the garment of the one who was walking, that she would be healed. They began to pass out things of Paul's and people were healed. He walked by in his shadow because they believed that if he just walked by them, that they would be healed. They believed, you see, we focus on the fact that, well, I want my shadow to be so holy. That's just carrying the presence of God. And then when people see it and they begin to believe, well, God is residing there. God is there, and if God is there, then I want to be healed. I need a touch. I need this. If the church wants to see a harvest, it's imperative that we be in tune with the Holy Spirit and allow him to move in the ways that he wants to move to draw the people that he wants to draw. It's imperative that the sweetness of God and the love of God is dripping off of our lips. It's imperative that our mind is being renewed by the Word, that we are walking with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit begins to move even around us when we're not aware. That same Holy Spirit, he's not less knowing than he was then. He's not less powerful than he was then. He hasn't diminished in any way. You see, when times are dark, what does the light do? It shines brighter, doesn't it? You turn the light on in the day and you can't hardly see it, but you turn it on in the middle of the night when it's pitch black and the clouds are covering And all of a sudden, that light's brighter than it has been, isn't it? You know, the light is shining today bright as it's ever been. And in some areas, in some places, in the darkness, it's brighter. I'm here tonight to give you hope that those children that are wayward, those ones that are away, God is shining the light. Let it be through you. Let it be through you. As you say, Holy Spirit, I want to be the light that they see in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the storm, whether they reject it or not. God, I want to be the light. I want to be where your light shines through me so bright. How do I do that? That's where I started this message. That's where this message was birthed. In John 14:12 says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me. How many of you believe in Jesus? Now see your hands. So this passage applies to you, right? We'll do the works I've been doing, and they'll do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. So he's saying, I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and it's going to dwell in each one of you. What a story of multiplication. What a story of astounding multiplication. He takes 72 disciples, 12 apostles, and he begins on the day of Pentecost as Peter begins to preach. 3,000 were saved. And after that, more and more and more and more. And look at Christianity today. God knows what he's doing. He knows how to reach the lost. He knows how to reach the ones that you are praying for. The Holy Spirit is moving, and he's moving, I think, swiftly. He's moving often. He's speaking often. So Romans 8:5-6, just to give you some insight, how do we walk in this Holy Spirit? How do we walk in this? Paul says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the flesh and the desires of the flesh. So first of all, am I renewing my mind through the Word? This is simple stuff. But we need to be reminded from time to time. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on the Spirit's desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. I don't know about you, but I'm in for the life and peace. I've had enough of the death, turmoil, strife, and destruction that I have caused myself. I'm ready to walk in the fullness of that thing, man. And watch what the river of life does. It gives life wherever it goes. Galatians 5:18 talks about not being under the law. You're not under the law because you're not under the flesh. The law was to tutor the flesh. The law was to show that you need more than the flesh. You need more than willpower. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ to be real in your life. You need Jesus. Galatians 5:25, Paul writes, since we live by the Spirit, let us live by the Spirit. I want you to get up in the morning. I want you to drive home tonight. And I want you to say, hello, Holy Spirit. Hello, Father. Hello, Jesus. I want a closer walk with you. I want you to get up in the morning, and I want you to look in the mirror, and I want you to say, hello, Holy Spirit. Hello, Father. Hello, Jesus. Today, I want your image to be shown through me. The last thing is Ephesians 6:18. It says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on the praying for the Lord's people. One of the things that's radically carried me through times of turmoil and strife, and when I felt like I'm about to die, I don't even know how to breathe. I don't know how to pray. I don't even know what to say. Because it appears as if the enemy has his foot on my neck. And I begin to pray in the Spirit. There have been times when the warrior of the Holy Spirit rises up inside of me. And I know that I know that I know he's warring on my behalf. Because when I am weak, he is strong. When I am down, he's standing there going, "You don't touch this one. This is my son. He's mine." Many of you know, some of you don't. We were recently, about 4 weeks ago, our granddaughter was diagnosed with kidney cancer that starts in the kidney. Spread to the lung. And you stand there and you go, "What do I tell my son? What do I say?" And I just begin to pray and go, "God, I don't have any words. But you do. And God, I don't know how to reach him, but you do. So God, this is not my battle. This is your battle. I'm going to join with you. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to believe. Because I know that you're going to carry us through this." Today, she went in for her fourth chemo treatment. She's been doing so well with those, and a couple more, and they'll have, see what they're doing, you know, to what their plan is for the next phase, is some surgery. I don't tell you this for your sympathy. I do ask for your prayers. But I tell you because I know that I know that I know that my God is able and willing to love through the situation as only he can, whether they can see it or not. So I think in these days, not just for me personally, but for all of us as a church, it's imperative that we be in tune with the Holy Spirit every step of the way. I don't want to be five steps and hear him back there. Step by step, moment by moment. I'm here, Holy Spirit, I'm listening. And when I get too busy, would you just speak louder, please? You know he does that. I've had him sometimes stop me dead in my tracks and like, "Whoa, I hear you. I hear you." As the worship team comes and we close in the word of prayer, as those who are on the prayer teams, if you need prayer this evening, maybe you just want to say, "Hey, Holy Spirit, I want more. I want to be closer. I want to walk in the fullness of what you've got for me. I want to fulfill my purpose on the face of the earth. I want my legacy to be, he followed Jesus all the way." We do not fathom what the Lord can do with just one surrendered. How about all of Grace House? How about all of you just saying, "God, I'm all in. this evening, if you'll stand with us. And I want you just to raise your hands and surrender and say, Lord, I'm all in. Whatever you got for me, I want it all. If we'll have a couple of prayer team members, somebody that could come up and pray for people if they need prayer. If a couple of you would come up. And we'll just close this way. If you want to come up and you want somebody to pray with you, come on. But if you want to stand right there tonight, Father, I just thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection. I thank you, Father, that even in the beginning, you knew. But yet you loved and created us. Because your love is greater than any shortfall or shortcoming or sin than we could ever commit. Thank you, Lord. I pray for your Holy Spirit tonight. I pray for an anointing on each life that fulfills the call in their life to listen with intent, to listen with the intent to obey. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray over this region. We pray, Lord, that you would begin to an outbreak of the Holy Spirit. We pray, God, that an awakening would begin to happen in every church. Over this state, over this nation, God, that the church would begin to once again fall on her face and say, Lord, you're the only answer. You're the only way. What do you have for me today? Amen. Come if you want prayer. If not, you're dismissed. Thank you for coming tonight.